This is going to be our last class on dush, on threshing. We're only meeting on Mondays after this for the next 2 weeks, because next Thursday there's something going on here with Rabbi Brody and the new incoming rabbi, and the week after that is Purim. So we'll meet for the next 2 Mondays, and that'll be about Purim topics. You can let me know if you have any preferences to what we discuss on Purim. I'm open to anything, like Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim are interesting, very interesting. But if you have any ideas, let me know. So we're in the last class on threshing, and this is really it's a nice way to end, because it's a lot, really bringing in a lot of different ideas that we've been discussing until now, and we're culminating with this. And we'll also get to, hopefully we'll get to some practical applications of this. So what we're ultimately going to get to is a discussion about whether you, for three things. Are you allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos? And that will only, there's a lot of different issues in terms of brushing your teeth, but we're going to discuss in terms of the brushing of the teeth, what would be the concern here? The concern here is that there's water which is absorbed within the toothbrush itself. And through brushing, you are now squeezing out the water. That would be the potential concern. Whether you are allowed to squeeze a paper towel, or soak a paper towel to then squeeze it. Let's say you're cleaning up a mess, there's a spill, you poured water on the table, so then if you were put the paper towel there, and then you pick it up, it could, depending on the situation, it could automatically squeeze out the water from that paper towel. And then the third case we'll discuss is baby wipes. Baby wipes is also part of this discussion. So essentially, all three of these cases are cases called slitas begadim. This is squeezing of cloth or clothing. Literally, it's clothing, but it means squeezing liquid out of cloth, which is something we have not yet discussed. What we've been discussing until now has been cases of kernels out of their stalks. That's your classical case of threshing. Then we discussed squeezing out liquids from fruit. And what about if you have pickled or cooked vegetables, where the liquid went into the cooked vegetable? So now we're discussing, this is a different category here, of just squeezing water out of cloth. So this really, what we know is that it's forbidden. This is the first source. Let's just read the first source. The first source says that it's forbidden. It's forbidden to, and this is also a source that we've seen, it's forbidden to squeeze out water, or the case here is wine, out of the cloth. The Gemara says, "V'ha'am Rav Simi Bar Chiya Mishmei D'Rav, Hai Misuchrei D'Nezaitza Aser LaHadukai B'Yom Atova." It's prohibited to put a cloth stopper into the barrel of wine, and the reason for that is that when you take it out, it's automatically going to cause the wine to spill out. Now, when the wine spills out, also it's important to note that it's going directly in back into the wine barrel. Right, it's going back into it. When you take it out, it's not falling on the floor, which is something that we discussed on Monday. We were discussing the issue of what happens if you don't end up using the liquid. Here, you are going to use the liquid. You're going to end up using the liquid because it's going to go back into the barrel. So we know that it's forbidden. The big question is this a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? That's the big question.
Can you explain that? I'm trying to visualize what you're talking about.
With the barrel?
With the cloth stopper in the
so
barrel.
So let's say instead of having a cork that we have a cloth stopper.
Where's the hole in this barrel that you're talking about?
On the top.
So then
it's a small hole on the top. You take a piece of cloth and you stuff the barrel, the opening of the barrel, so that it's tight. It's very tightly in place. So what happens is over time that the barrel gets moved around, and that cloth also has wine. It absorbs some of the wine. Mm-hmm. So that when you pull out the cloth, it has so much wine absorbed in it that it's going to squeeze out the wine. That's what the case is. So it automatically squeezes out the wine because you're pulling it. It's in a tight space, so you're pulling it and the wine is going to come out. That's the case. So we know that that case is forbidden. The big question is this a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? That's going to be part of the big question. That's one issue that we're going to deal with. And that would impact all the other cases that we discussed, all those practical applications. So what would you think? Is this a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? Based on some of the examples that we've had in the past.
What did we say? Like, I can't remember the name of the category of something where you there's a definite something that's going to happen and you know what's going to happen.
It's automatically going to happen. A secretia.
Secretia. So this is a secretia, right?
It is a psikratia, correct. It is a psikratia. It's also a psikratia which you want that second result because you're saving wine. The wine is going back into the barrel. So it's something that you want. The question is whether, ignore the psikratia issue. Let's say you just have, you have liquid which is absorbed into a cloth. Right? The liquid is absorbed into a cloth. What would that be similar to? Which example would that be similar to that we've had in the past?
Pickles.
I would assume it's similar to pickles, to the pickled vegetables or the cooked vegetables, where the water goes into the vegetable and now it's coming out. This is not a natural combination, right? This is not something which is natural. It should be parallel to the cooked vegetables where the water goes in and now the water goes out. So to over here, the wine was not naturally part of this cloth. It became absorbed into the cloth and now you're taking it out. Now in terms of cooked vegetables, so that was a dispute in the Gemara. That was a dispute between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand and Rav Yochanan on the other, whether that's a biblical prohibition or not. And the way we paskin, to make a long story short, the way we paskin is that it is a rabbinic prohibition. We follow the opinion that says that it is a rabbinic prohibition. And the reason that we've said until now as to why it's a rabbinic prohibition is because we might have given different reasons, but it's not natural, so that's one potential reason. But the only time that it's biblical, the biblical prohibition, is when there's a natural combination, when it was naturally put together. But if it wasn't natural, so then that would just be a rabbinic prohibition. And if that's the case, so then so too over here, this should be a rabbinic prohibition, right? This should be a rabbinic prohibition. And there are those that hold that it's a rabbinic prohibition. Some do say that it's a rabbinic prohibition. There are other of our earlier commentators who say that this could be a biblical prohibition as well. That this could be a biblical prohibition. I'll quote one. One is on the next source here. The Ran is going to say that it's a biblical prohibition. He says it's only rabbinic for a technical reason. It's rabbinic because it's not something which grew from the ground. The cloth that we're dealing with here did not grow from the ground. But if this cloth did grow from the ground, so then it would be a biblical prohibition. So let's just read this inside, in source 2.
Yeah, he's saying it's a biblical prohibition because he holds like Rav Yochanan.
So we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. He says, Yesh mefarshim demayri b'chavis shel yayin v'hu beged shel pishtan. We're dealing with flax. It's flax. Shib piachavis tikshu sochet nafli mashkin besocha. So that when you open it, so some of the wine goes in back into the barrel. Velo azli liba, it doesn't go to waste. Vizchita tahacha have told the mefarik. Shu mefarik hamachal min habeged kamefarik haprimin haklipa. Vimhayumayim have told the liba. So he says that this would be a biblical prohibition of extracting, because just like we take the kernels out of the stalk or the fruit out of the shell of that fruit, so then so too over here, you are taking the wine out of the cloth. So it would be a biblical prohibition. He does point out, which is also important to note, just parenthetically, is that we're dealing with wine here. If we were dealing with water, so then there's a separate issue about laundering and cleaning. There's a separate prohibition in terms of laundering and cleaning, which I don't want to get into because that's not something we've been dealing with. So if you deal with water, and perhaps only water, which is also a dispute, so then it would be a cleaning problem. But let's ignore that for now. But the Ran is of the opinion that there would be a biblical prohibition of extracting. But he argues and he says it's not true. In his last line, he says it's not true because it's not gedulei karka. For a technical reason, this is not something which grew from the ground. But if we'd be dealing with something which grew from the ground, so then it would be a biblical prohibition. So the question is, why would this be a biblical prohibition? So the simple way to say it is as follows. If cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition...
So can I just take one quick thing? He's saying it's not a biblical provision because it doesn't grow from the ground?
Correct.
He's saying the beged is made out of flax? Flax doesn't grow from the ground?
I assume part of the explanation is that they transform the flax. It was processed. So once it's processed, so then it's no longer viewed as connected to the ground.
Okay. That's much different than not growing from the ground.
But it's processed, yeah.
Okay.
So the simple way to explain this connection is to say as follows. If cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition, so then it makes sense to say that this too, when you put the water into the cloth, that's also a rabbinic prohibition, right? Because it's both a case where the water came from the outside and went and became absorbed into whatever it became absorbed into, the vegetable or the cloth. And if it's a biblical prohibition, then it makes sense to call this also a biblical prohibition, right? It makes sense to say that everything is connected, right? So there are some of the, I didn't quote it, but some of the earlier commentators say that it's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as that. You can hold that cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition, but water which is absorbed into cloth is a biblical prohibition. One could hold like that. That even if it's a rabbinic prohibition, when it comes to the cooked vegetables, it's a biblical prohibition when it comes to the cloth. And the question is why? Why would you assume that there's a difference between the two? In fact, this is just parenthetically, who is the one talking here in the Gemara? It's Rav. So Rav was also the one that said that when it comes to the vegetables, that it's a rabbinic prohibition. So it was the same person. It's the same person. Rav said it was a rabbinic prohibition when it comes to the cooked vegetables. And over here, some of our earlier commentators say that it's a biblical prohibition. So there's already some of the, according to those Rishonim, like the Ran, so then it wouldn't be an exact parallel. So the big question is, why is it not an exact parallel between cooked vegetables? So could you think of any difference between cooked vegetables and water or wine which is soaked in cloth? What would be a potential difference between the two?
Other than the thing you said, other than the fact that it's processed and it's not a natural.
Yeah, ignoring that. Ignore that for now. Not the processed issue, just what would be a difference between water which gets absorbed through cooking in the vegetable as opposed to in the cloth?
Well, it was a deliberate action to put the water with the vegetables, to cook the vegetables in the water.
Okay.
And this is just an unintended consequence that the water seeps into the cloth.
Okay. That is definitely a distinction. I think that distinction is really telling us something fundamental about these two cases, the fundamental difference between these two cases. And I would say as follows. Perhaps the reason why cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition is for the following reason. Perhaps it's a rabbinic prohibition because when you cook the water into the vegetable, this is totally different than what we've said until now, but when you cook the water into the vegetable, so then you could say that it becomes absorbed with the vegetable, because you intended to do this, and then becomes like as if it's one with the vegetable. Since you intended to cook the vegetable, and then water would become absorbed into the vegetable and essentially attain certain properties of that vegetable, right? It would get the taste of the vegetable, it would get part of the taste of the vegetable, there would be, right? It would change. The water would change from the process of cooking and pickling the vegetable, where the water is absorbed in the vegetable, so then it becomes a part of that vegetable. You could say that it becomes a part of that vegetable, so much so that you could claim that when you squeeze it out, so then it's still a part of the vegetable. It retains the characteristics of that vegetable. Right? Because you put it into the vegetable, it changed. That water changed. And now when you squeeze it out, it's equivalent to, let's say, the example that we gave in terms of oranges. If oranges is not normal, in times like more, to squeeze out, so when you squeeze out oranges to have the juice there, but it's not normal to have orange juice, so then we just view it as really part of the orange. It's a part of the orange. It's no different than the orange, because it's not normal to have orange juice. So then you just view it as one and the same of the orange. It's just the leftovers of the orange. So then so too over here, because the water becomes absorbed, it was your intention to put the two together, so the water now is viewed as part of the vegetable. So once it's part of the vegetable, when I squeeze it out, it's just a rabbinic prohibition. Just like any other case, except for olives and grapes. Olives and grapes are the only ones that are biblically prohibited. Every other case is a rabbinic prohibition because it's viewed as just part of the vegetable. It doesn't have its own identity as a liquid. So then you can make such a claim when it comes to when you specifically intend to share that quality of the water with the vegetable so that it becomes part of the vegetable. When it comes to cloth, when I put water or wine or tomato sauce that fell on the table and you want to clean it up with a paper towel, that sauce does not, or the wine, it doesn't change in its characteristic. Nothing changes there.
Doesn't right? become part of the cloth.
And it doesn't become part of the cloth. And it doesn't become, well, that's, it doesn't change there. And since it doesn't change there, so then when I squeeze it out, I can't say I'm squeezing out cloth. When I squeeze out a pickled vegetable, I can claim that the water is part of the pickled vegetable. But when I squeeze out water from a baguette, from cloth, from clothing, I can't say I'm squeezing out clothing. I now have an extension of the clothing.
There's also another aspect is that when you pickle a cucumber, so the cucumber has its own natural liquid. So when I'm squeezing out the pickle now, I don't know that the liquid coming out is the water that was absorbed in.
No, that's for sure true. But that water...
Maybe that was a natural pickle juice. So I can't look at it.
But that water is for sure rabbinic prohibition.
Right, no, but I'm saying, because I can't separate the two, I can't look at the liquid that's coming out of this pickle and say, oh, that's the water that was absorbed, or that's the water, or the initial water. So you can't call it its own shame that, oh, this is... You can't look at that and say, oh, this is the water which was absorbed, which is coming out now. How do you know? Maybe that was the natural water that's coming out now.
Do you have to identify which water? Why are you assuming?
No, I'm saying that could be why it's rabbinic.
Potentially, you're assuming that you have to identify the water that was absorbed and that's coming out. I'm not sure if you have to designate that's the water that. As long as the water comes out, the water comes out. Why do I have to? What do I care?
It's own shame. I mean,
you're fine. It's an assumption. You might be right, but it's still an assumption to say that the only way it could attain its own identity is when I could see it and designate it as its own identity. I'm just saying you could potentially say that no, I don't have to see it. It could get its own identity without actually pointing to it and saying this is the water that went into the vegetable. Potentially, I hear what you're saying, but I could also claim otherwise. That's all.
I could claim otherwise to your pshat also.
I agree. I'm just trying to give an explanation for those. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, so you're saying this is an explanation. Yeah, for sure.
But I think you have to admit that at very least the water coming out is unidentifiable, but you have to admit that some of it is the water that went in.
Right, but it could be that since you can't point to the water and say, oh, this is water which is coming out, maybe that's cucumber juice that's coming out. And therefore you can't say that now it had, right? Part of this, the whole malacha of dash is creating some, giving something a new shame. That before it was a wheat stalk and now it's a kernel. Before it was a grape and now it's wine. Before it was an olive and now it's oil. It has a new shame to it. You can't look at this juice which is coming out and say, oh, this is water which is coming out. You don't know that it's water.
Okay, you could make that. Yes, I agree. You could make such a claim.
By a cloth, you can't say such a thing.
By a cloth, you can't say. Yeah, you can't say such a thing. Yeah, because the cloth never had water to begin with. You're saying because the cloth never had water to begin with. Okay, that's another distinction. So therefore, we could say that for these two reasons, I think you could say that even if you want to say that the cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition, when it comes to cloth, it's a biblical prohibition, because by the vegetables, you could say that the water that's coming out, either it's unrecognizable, which is what Rabbi Lefon is saying. Or it's just viewed as part of the vegetable because it went into the vegetable, perhaps because you intended for it to share characteristics with the vegetable. So it became part of the vegetable, and now when it comes out, if we're not dealing with wine or with oil, so then we just view it as part of the vegetable. It becomes part of the vegetable. When it comes to cloth, so you can't make such a claim. You can't make a claim. It's first of all, like what this one said, it's only that which is going into the cloth. The cloth never had any pre-existing liquid, and it doesn't become one with the cloth. It's not like the wine which goes into the cloth or the tomato juice, tomato sauce, that could be like it becomes one with the cloth, that this is now called cloth. When you see a mess of wine that's in a cloth, right? You wouldn't say that it's part of the cloth. Therefore, when you squeeze it out, you're squeezing out wine. You're not squeezing out cloth. You're squeezing out wine. It's separate from the cloth. So that's how it could be a biblical prohibition.
So would it make it better if you moistened the cloth before you jammed it into the hole? Because then it just becomes a rabbinic prohibition.
No, it's just squeezing out that water and the wine.
The water also.
If you moisten the cloth and you squeeze that out, that's a problem also.
It's a problem with squeezing the water out. Because you put the water in. At the same token, based on this understanding, I could also give the exact opposite logic, based on what we're saying. The exact opposite logic I could say. I can make the following claim. I could say, cooked vegetables, that's a biblical prohibition. Cooked vegetables is a biblical prohibition. When it comes to the cloth, I could say that that's rabbinic. Based on the same exact logic, just flipping it around. And I'll say as follows. What was the distinction between the two? We said that by cooked vegetables, it becomes a part of the vegetable, right? When it comes to the cloth, it doesn't. So I could claim that the reason why cloth is not a biblical prohibition is because it's not even viewed as part of the cloth. When it becomes a mixture of the wine with the cloth, it first has to be a mixture. It has to be, the cloth has to contain the wine and absorb the wine to the extent that we view this as a single entity. But if we never viewed this as a single entity, so then maybe this can't be a biblical prohibition. Dash has to be where you have something where it contains something else within it. It's one entity. I would call this one thing. When I have the kernels that are in the stalk, what do I call that? I don't call that kernels in stalk. Anybody that sees that, they don't make such a claim. They say this is stalk. You take the kernels out later. When I have a cloth which is soaking with the liquid, what do I call that? A shmata. Okay, but a shmata is one name, but it's neither cloth nor liquid. What that is I have two entities put together. You don't view that as a single entity. As opposed to the vegetable, the cooked vegetable, that's a pickle. I call that a pickle. The water is in the pickle. I don't call that the water that went into the pickle and the pickle and a vegetable. Agreed, but those are two terms. That's a wet cloth. That is
cloth
a cloth which also has water in it. I don't call a pickle a watered pickle. I don't call that. Nobody calls a pickle a watered pickle. That it's a pickle which also has water which is absorbed into it. A wet cloth means that you have a cloth which also has water.
Truth is, in South Africa, you would call it a pickled cucumber. That's how you'd call it. Which means that it's a cucumber with this pickled water in it.
No. It's gone through the process.
It went through the process of
pickled.
And I'm not when I'm saying this, I'm not even talking about like the language that we use. I'm talking about like just how we would
think of it.
Yeah. Which obviously the way we think is based off our language, but. So I could make the opposite claim and say that when it comes to the vegetable, so it became part of the vegetable. So when I squeeze it out, it retains its own. At the point in time when I squeeze it out, now I'm squeezing out the original liquid, so it has its own identity as a liquid. As opposed to the cloth, I could claim that it's a rabbinic prohibition because it never became absorbed into the cloth because it's not called a cloth at that point in time when it's together. When it's together, it's not called a cloth. So I could also make that claim that it's a rabbinic prohibition, even if the cooked vegetables were to be a biblical prohibition. So I could, in terms of the same logic, the same looking at the situation of the cloth and the liquid not being together, really. So I can make both arguments, really. The same, both arguments, two opposite arguments as to whether the cloth is a rabbinic or biblical prohibition. And this is a dispute. This is a dispute whether it's rabbinic or a biblical prohibition. That's the first point. Then there's a second issue that we also have to deal with.
Who is this dispute between? So far we've seen the Ran, who says
so the
biblical.
Yeah, so the Ran and the Ri and the Rush say that it's a biblical prohibition.
All for the same reason?
They don't really explain. The Ri doesn't explain. It doesn't really give an explanation. And there are other Rishonim who say that it's a rabbinic prohibition. The Eglet Tal quotes Rishonim. I forgot which ones, but he quotes Rishonim that say that it's a rabbinic prohibition. That's one issue that we have to deal with, whether it's a biblical or rabbinic prohibition. And it's not clear in the end whether it's biblical or rabbinic. The other issue that we have to deal with is this next issue, the Shulchan Aruch. What would happen in the case of when you had cloth? What would happen if you have a case with cloth, which is soaked, and you squeeze it out just for it to go to waste? For it to go to waste. What's your classical example of this? Practical example would be the paper towels. If I have a mess, water fell on the table, and I take a bunch of paper towels to clean up that mess, and it happens to be that it's soaking, but it's squeezing out, when I squeeze it out, I'm not using that liquid. That liquid is just dripping, or it's going straight into the garbage. But I'm not using that liquid. So that's a case where I have no intention to use that liquid. So that goes back to Monday's discussion. On Monday, we discussed what would happen. We had a discussion when it came to cooked vegetables, at least. By cooked vegetables, the Gemara says clearly, by cooked vegetables, if I were to squeeze it not for the water, not for the liquid, but for the vegetable, I just want to remove the liquid from the vegetable, then it's completely permissible. That is completely permissible when it comes to cooked vegetables. And there was a discussion whether it applied outside of cooked vegetables. Maybe it's unique to cooked vegetables. That's what we discussed on Monday, whether it could extend beyond cooked vegetables. The question is, what would happen in our case when we have the cloth?
That was only in Rav and Shmo.
That was everybody.
Even Rav Yochanan.
Yeah, he also said that. Yes. He also said that. Everyone says that, but when it comes to cooked vegetables, that when you squeeze it out for the vegetable itself, and not because you want to use the liquid, so then that's completely permissible. We gave three reasons why that would be permissible on Monday. One reason is because if I don't want to use the liquid, the whole point of dash is to say that I'm turning something into, I'm changing the object to a different type of object, it has a different name. But if I'm going to throw it out anyways, so then I can't claim that it has its own identity. This is going straight into the garbage. So it doesn't have its own identity, and that's why it's completely permissible.
Is that the same as going into food?
It would be equivalent to going into food. Yeah, that would be just like we could squeeze a solid, the liquid would go out and then go directly into a solid, and that's completely permissible. And the logic behind that is that the liquid never got its own identity because it went straight into it becoming a solid, and a solid to solid is allowed. So then, so too, you could claim if I were to squeeze the solid, not to use the liquid, but just to throw out the liquid, so then the liquid never gets a significant identity. It doesn't have a significant identity. That's one approach that we said on Monday. The second approach that we said was that this is just it's not the normal way of threshing to thresh into a garbage. It's not the normal way of threshing. And so therefore it's completely permissible because this is not the normal way. This is not the normal action of threshing. Which was like the Tosfos that we mentioned on Monday. And then the third explanation that we gave was that no, this is unique to cooked vegetables. Because cooked vegetables is already a rabbinic prohibition. And over here, the reason why it's allowed when you don't want to use the liquid is just because it's something which you call Mlacha Shein Shrich Legufa, or what others call Psik Resha Delo Nichalei, perhaps. It's where if I don't, in the Mishkan, I had to use the object that came out. Over here, I'm not using that object. So I have a different intention than what happened in the Mishkan. And because of that, because the combination of a Malacha Shein Shrich Legufa, that I don't have that same intention, plus the fact that it's already a rabbinic prohibition, the cooked vegetables, so therefore it'll be permissible. But if it's not cooked vegetables, let's say it's a biblical prohibition, so then it would still be prohibited. It might be a rabbinic prohibition, but it would still be prohibited. So according to this third explanation, it's unique to, this is specific to cooked vegetables. So again, just to review, when we squeeze out for the solid and not for the liquid, so there are three reasons why that's permissible. Either it's permissible because the liquid is not significant, it's not halakhically significant because it's going straight into the garbage, and so that's completely allowed. Or the second reason is that it's just, when I thresh into the garbage, that's a different action than normal threshing. That's not called threshing. When I thresh it into the garbage, completely permissible. The third reason is that no, this is only allowed if to begin with it's a rabbinic prohibition. If it's a rabbinic prohibition, so to combine that with the fact that I'm not using it for the intention that it was done in the Mishkan, because in the Mishkan they used the object that came out. Over here I'm not using the object that came out, so therefore it's allowed, but only because it started off as a rabbinic prohibition. Like cooked vegetables, the way we pass them, cooked vegetables is a rabbinic prohibition. So if I don't want to use the liquid, so then it would also be it would be completely permissible. But if I'm not dealing with cooked vegetables, let's say I was dealing with grapes or olives, so then even if I don't intend to use the oil, so then it would still be prohibited, according to this last explanation. Okay. So the question is, what's the story with the cloth? Let's say you have water and cloth, and you squeeze out the water, not because you want to use the water, but just because you're cleaning up, and water you're squeezing it, so water comes out. So what's the story with that? So that's the Shulchan Aruch here. This is the last source on page 1. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows.
Can we work it out?
Yeah, you want to work it out. Fine. So let's start before the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, according to the first reason. So the first reason was that the reason why it's permissible is because this is not something which is...
doesn't get its own shame.
It's not significant. Right? So it's not significant. So what would happen in the case of cloth?
We're talking about absorbing it now or squeezing it out?
Squeezing it out. I'm squeezing it out, but I don't want to use the liquid. The reason why that... we gave three reasons why that's allowed. So let's go through each one and see if they work for the case of the cloth. I have cloth where it's absorbed with water.
Right.
And I'm squeezing out the cloth, but I don't intend to use the liquid. The liquid's going to the garbage.
You're squeezing it out down the drain pipe or whatever.
Yeah, or it's so wet that as I pick it up, it just automatically squeezes. Right. If I'm cleaning a spill
you're
of water...
come back with another paper towel and wipe that up. So.
What?
I'm saying either it's going to the garbage. You're going to come back in a minute with another paper towel to wipe that up.
Yeah, and it's all going to go into the garbage. So according to the first explanation that we gave as to what happens, the reason why it's permissible when I don't want to use the liquid that comes out, is that it's not significant. In order for dash to be prohibited, I have to create a new identity of the object that's coming out. When it's going to the garbage, it's not a new identity. So what about by cloth? I have water mixed with cloth. Should that be completely permissible or not? When I squeeze it and the water is going to the garbage.
Yeah.
Yes. So Des says yes. Does anybody want to make a claim otherwise?
Well, you could say that it already has a shame. I mean, because by the pickle case or any other case where it's absorbed into the food, so that's, you know, that's the pickle or that's the tuna fish. Or as now it's going to the garbage, it goes from being tuna fish to garbage. But it never had... it was never liquid. But in the case of the cloth, you could say that the water absorbed in the cloth was always water. It never became one with the cloth. So it always had a sham of water. So now you're just squeezing it out, and it's...
exactly. So you could make... you're right. You could say that they're the same. But you could also make the... you could also make the argument that the water goes into the cloth. So we said when the water goes into the cloth... it's one, it doesn't become one with the cloth, right? So when I squeeze it out, even if it's going to the garbage, it still retains its own identity. Right? If you go to the next page, this is exactly what the Avni Nezer says. I was going to say it afterwards, but Rabbi Lichtman already mentioned this idea. He makes this exact distinction. He says, Mishum de kol kama delach shivinu l'tzorech hamashkin, lav shem mashka alayu hol v'nivlon ba'ocha. When I don't want it for the liquid, in a regular place, let's say I squeeze out cooked vegetables, and I don't want it for the liquid, it doesn't have an identity as a liquid. Because originally it became balua, it became absorbed with the food, with the vegetable, so it doesn't have a status of a liquid, it became absorbed with the vegetable. When I squeeze it out and I don't want to use the liquid, so it doesn't get its own identity. As opposed to when something becomes absorbed within cloth, when I have the water absorbed within cloth, it's certainly a liquid. You cannot. It's a liquid even when it's in the cloth. It has an identity of a liquid when it's in the cloth. So when I squeeze it out, even if it goes into the garbage, it retains its identity as a liquid. It still has an identity as a liquid, even though I plan on throwing it out into the garbage. It's still significant because it never lost its identity as a liquid. When it comes to the cooked vegetables, it lost its identity as a liquid when it became part of the vegetable. So when I squeeze it out, unless I want to use the liquid, it's not going to have a new status of a liquid. If I squeeze it out and I don't want to use the liquid, it doesn't get a status of a liquid. But when it comes to the cloth, it always retains its identity as water. When I have that cloth there, I have water that's with cloth. I have a wet cloth. So when I squeeze it out, it certainly is a liquid. It has an identity of a liquid. And so therefore, you could claim that would be prohibited. You could claim what you're saying, but...
How do we know that dash would apply in such a case where it has its own... It already has its own identity.
While it's in the cloth?
Yeah. The case of dash is where you have a wheat stalk. The kernel doesn't have its own identity.
You could...
And now when you separate it, it has its own identity.
You're right.
So creating an identity.
I think the question is as follows. So you're asking this should never be a prohibition because it never became one with the cloth.
It's always separate. It just happens.
It's always separate.
Together.
So the question is as follows. Does it have to be that is dash when I have an entity which is it's on its own and I'm now separating one thing from another? Or dash could be two different identities which are just mixed together and I separate that mixture.
What's the source of that?
The fact that the...
Which case have we dealt with? We haven't seen any cases, I don't think.
This would be the only case. This would be the first case that we've dealt with where this occurs. It's just that the fact that the kernel is in the stalk. So is that dash because we call this... It's a mixture where it's just called a stalk? Or is it because, no... It just happens to be that it's called a stalk, but it's just about taking out the kernel from the stalk. It's not because it has one identity when it's a mixture together.
You're not creating a new shame. Like this whole idea of creating a new shame.
It wouldn't be about creating a new shame. It would be about, it already has its own identity, but I'm now separating that identity from the mixture.
So this is going back to the first class. The first class where...
Potentially.
Where you spoke about... There are two approaches to dash. One is that it's just a separation.
Separation or removing something which is... Well, I'm not sure. We can discuss that afterwards.
Revealing something hidden, yeah.
But here too, you're revealing something hidden. You're revealing the water which is absorbed in the cloth. I don't see that water that's in the cloth. It's absorbed in the cloth. When I squeeze it out, I'm revealing that which is hidden. The point here though is that even though it has its own identity as it's hidden... In the cloth, it has its own identity. The prohibition here is to separate those one from another. Even though it has its own identity, the water is in the cloth, it has its own identity, but I'm separating one from the other. Yeah? Okay, so based on this, you could claim that when it comes to cloth, even if I don't want to use it, so then it will be allowed. Even though I don't want to use the liquid, it should be allowed because in the end of the day, the liquid always remained a liquid. The entire time it was a liquid. And so then, even if it is thrown into the garbage, I have now separated the liquid from the cloth. And so therefore, that would be still prohibited.
But I could also hear...
I could also hear what Des is saying, correct. I agree. I could hear both ways. The Avnei Nezer said the way you were saying it. And you could also claim the other way. I'm not...
I really forgot what I said.
You just said that it's parallel to cooked vegetables, where once I throw it out, it's not significant.
I said that?
That's what you said.
Very good.
It was a wise guy who said that.
Meaning once I'm throwing it out, it's not significant, so therefore it'll be allowed. It's not going to be prohibited. The second explanation we gave as to why when we squeeze it out it is allowed, if I don't want to use it for the liquid, is because this is not the normal way of performing threshing. If it's not the normal way of performing threshing, so then this should also apply to cloth. It's not the normal way to thresh when I throw it out into the garbage. So then I don't think there's another way of looking at it. It would also be completely allowed.
That would be different. Like, let's say, like baby wipes. That would be different.
We'll discuss baby wipes if we have time. Yeah, but we'll.
But that would be. You're not. That's not called throwing it out. There, you're using the liquid. Maybe.
We'll see. The number one rule here is never make any assumptions, right? It's a discussion. It's a discussion. The third way of understanding why it's allowed is because it only applied when I don't want it for the liquid. It's allowed, but only in the case where it's already a rabbinic prohibition. The reason why is because this is called when I'm doing something not for the intention of the actual prohibition. I don't want it for the liquid. I'm just squeezing this out because, in the case of a cloth, I don't want it to even go out to drip on the floor. It's what happens. It's not something which I want. So that's. It's called the psikoresha de lo nichale. I don't want it to happen. So therefore, when it's on a rabbinic prohibition, it would potentially be allowed. Let's say that would be allowed. So when it comes to the cloth, so we mentioned that by the cloth case, it's a discussion whether it's a rabbinic or biblical prohibition to begin with when it comes to the cloth. So if it's a rabbinic prohibition, if I don't want it for the liquid, so then it should be completely permissible. If it's a biblical prohibition, so then it might not be permissible.
Comes out is that according to the middle approach it would be mutter, and according to the first and the third approach.
No, the first approach is unclear. The
first and third are unclear.
Yeah, the first and third are unclear, and the middle approach would be allowed. Correct. Fine. The Shulchan Aruch, I'm not going to read it inside. The Shulchan Aruch takes essentially the third approach. Takes the third approach, I'm not going to read it inside, and he says that this should either be completely allowed or it should be a rabbinic prohibition. Some say it's allowed, he says, and some say it's a rabbinic prohibition. And in the end, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that we should be stringent and hold it to rabbinic prohibition. There are others who comment on the Shulchan Aruch, specifically the Magen Avraham, who takes the second approach to say that it's completely allowed. So we end up having a dispute, just in terms of practically speaking, we have a dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham whether this is a dispute. The Shulchan Aruch says we should be stringent and assume that this is a problem. Potentially, it would be a rabbinic prohibition. And then others say that no, this is completely allowed because this is just not the normal way of doing this action, it should be completely allowed, which is the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Okay, so now let's get to practical applications. Practical applications. So we're going to discuss these three cases, and then we'll conclude. Brushing your teeth on Shabbos. So brushing your teeth on Shabbos has this issue. We're just going to discuss this issue. There are other issues involved in brushing your teeth. In fact, I believe there are between 6 and 8 issues when it comes to brushing your teeth. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi what you should do. But we're just going to focus on Shchita. When we get to all the other ones, what?
What should we do?
Yeah, I thought you're the local Orthodox rabbi.
I'm far from it.
Let's just focus on Shchita. This issue of what happens when you put the what you... The water goes into the toothbrush, and as you brush your teeth, it's coming out. Right? It becomes absorbed into the toothbrush, and then it's coming out. So what would you say? Should that be allowed or not allowed? I know we all want to brush our teeth in Shabbos, so we're all going to say that it's allowed. But
I would take issue with the fact, that those bristles are made out of a plasticky stuff, which don't absorb the water. So you're saying that it's not like a cloth, that the water gets absorbed into the cloth. So the water just kind of is around the bristle, the bristles.
It's a great point. It is around the bristles.
Does it get stuck between the bristles? The
water gets it gets stuck because they're so small. It doesn't get absorbed into the single bristle. That makes sense. But it gets stuck. It gets absorbed between the, between them. So it does get stuck between them. Yeah, they're so fine that they get stuck between them.
It's kind of held.
It's held inside of them. But you are right. Your claim, what you're saying right now, is a great argument. Rav Avadya Yosef uses your argument. I'm just letting you know right now.
Good company, does.
We're in his house, right? So ignoring that factor, we'll get back to that factor, but ignoring that factor, let's say it is a problem because it gets absorbed between the bristles. So should this be allowed or not allowed? So there are those that say that that there should be a problem here. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's why you shouldn't brush your teeth, or one of the reasons why you shouldn't brush your teeth is because of this, because it does get absorbed in, and so therefore it would be a problem. Others also hold this way. And there are some that are lenient for a few reasons. One reason that they explain is that it is going to waste. That this is a case where when the water comes out, it's going to waste. I don't want that liquid that's coming out.
This is the liquid we're talking about.
The liquid that's in the water that water I put. No, the water from the tap. The water from the tap that I put on the toothbrush before I brush my teeth. So it comes out in your mouth, and then you spit it out of your mouth. So it's going to waste. So since it's going to waste, this is also assuming that we hold once it's going to waste, then it's completely permissible, which we said was a dispute.
Why does a person wet their toothbrush first?
Oh, sorry, Lithman's asking a big question. Why is this viewed as going to waste? The reason why I wet the toothbrush to begin with is so that the water comes out as I'm brushing my teeth. So I want that water. It's not like I don't want the water. I want that water during that time that it's in my mouth, so that it's mixes with the toothpaste. So I want that. I want that water. It might be for a very small amount of time, but I want the water, which is what some attack back at the Sridi Yesh. It's really the Sridi Yesh. Upon which he responds back, saying, "It's true. You want it for a very short time period, but we don't look at the short time period, we look at the big picture. In the big picture, I'm getting rid of this water.
It's just passing through.
It's passing through my mouth." Now, you could always claim that everything's always passing through. Meaning, you could. You can make such a claim. But I guess this is such a short time period that he claims that this would be allowed. And so therefore, he's of the opinion to say, he's making a lot of assumptions. He's assuming that when it goes to waste, it's allowed, which we said that was itself a discussion and a dispute whether that was allowed. He's also assuming this constitutes going to waste. Even though I want the water, when it comes out of my mouth, I want the water when it's in my mouth. I'm just spitting it out in 2 minutes. But at that point in time, I do want it.
Who's the Swedish?
Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. It was a big posik in the early 20th century.
Would that issue be resolved in one of two ways? Either brush your teeth without water.
Yes. That issue would be resolved if you brush your teeth without water.
Or if you left your toothbrush soaking over Shabbos in water.
That's still the same issue.
Wow, it's still the same issue.
Because when you take it
This is your same claim that you made before.
But it's not, because when you're taking it, when the problem is that you're allowing the water to be absorbed between the bristles.
Yeah.
But if your toothbrush is already been soaking, then it's absorbed.
It's not allowing the water to be absorbed. It's squeezing it out.
Yeah, meaning it's not about it being absorbed on Shabbos. It's about removing it. There's also a claim which is given, which is that... Okay, I'm going to ignore that other claim. There's another reason to allow it. Rav Avadya says what Dez... adds on what Dez says. He says that this is not in the category that we've been discussing until now. This is really something called Schita B'Seyar. which is about squeezing with hair. Hair doesn't absorb water. It just, water goes between the hair. But it's not like the water actually becomes absorbed in the hair. And so therefore, he says that that already reduces it. It's not comparable to the case of the cloth. Schita b'seyar is its own category. And based on that, and combining other factors, of like the fact that you don't, he calls this a psik resha, that you don't want the water to come out, which is also an interesting idea, because really you do want the water to come out. So he combines different factors together to say that you're allowed to brush your teeth. But his major assumption is, his major idea behind it is similar to what his starting point is, based on what Dez said.
Well, but in comparison, it's been absorbed. I don't understand why absorption is even important.
It wasn't absorbed. The point is that it wasn't absorbed.
Who cares?
No, because the whole forbidden activity of threshing is when you have something which is absorbed or contained within.
Contained within, but not absorbed.
But you could claim that this is not even called contained within, because it's contained within what?
Yeah.
You have that ability to separate each bristle from each other. If you wanted to, even though they're very tightly packed together, I could separate each one from each other. So the water is not really absorbed in anything. I could make such a claim. Others claim otherwise, but
you have to absorb by the kernel. It's not absorbed.
Yeah, that's
no, but it's mean. But at least it's within okay, it's surrounded. It's completely
contained within two bristles.
But who says when it comes to a stalk
or hair,
by a stalk, I have to open that up. Bristles are they're not inherently attached to each other. They just happen to be within close proximity from one another, but they're not inherently attached to each other. The stalk is a stalk that it's enclosed.
Well,
you have to break that open.
It's contained enough that it doesn't fall out.
What?
It doesn't fall out.
What doesn't fall out?
The water.
I understand. So that's the claim. That's one claim. But you could also say that, well, it only doesn't fall out. That doesn't call it being absorbed, because it's only just contained because the bristles are in such close proximity to one another. But it's not like it's actually absorbed.
It's almost like a vessel. Like
holding it in place.
It's just holding it in place. Yeah, it's holding it in place.
So if you dump your cup out, that's not called...
Right.
That's not called threshing.
It's not threshing. Yeah. It's just contained within the cup.
It's just contained within the cup.
So
that's
this is like a very microscopic cup.
Exactly.
But if you break everything down, isn't that true by everything?
No, because the stalk...
Does water actually get absorbed into a cloth, or... It just gets
absorbed.
Yeah,
the fibers
in
the cloth
gets swollen. Yeah, I think it does. That's why the bristles never—they don't like break down, because it doesn't get impacted by the water. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that itself is a machlokes. So the remotion in the end is machmir. The remotion Feinstein is machmir. Ravadja is mekel.
For all the issues?
Brushing the teeth? No.
When it comes to brushing your teeth.
You use toothpaste all eight issues?
No, with regards to this issue. Thank you. I'm only discussing this issue. I'm not discussing...
So you don't actually say that you can brush
Michael
your teeth.
Michael is...
No, lenient. Lenient. Ravadja is lenient. When it comes to this issue, we'll have to deal with each issue on its own.
So he doesn't actually say you can brush your teeth.
I forgot exactly how he holds in the end. But with regards to this issue, he's lenient. Rav Moshe's machmir.
I heard that there are like shavistich toothbrushes.
There are, but it wouldn't solve this issue.
I thought they are very.
Is that what it is? They have very spaced out. They're very spaced out bristles.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it would
solve.
I don't
think your dentist would hold this mutter, but
yeah. Well,
I think he does a good job, but.
But what's the? Okay. The other way to deal with it, this is the other way to deal with it, is really, instead of putting water in your toothbrush, is just to put water in your mouth first, and then to brush your teeth. And instead of watering the toothbrush itself, you could just put the toothpaste on the toothbrush, put water in your mouth, and then brush your teeth.
No, but that's kind of what I was asking.
This
is
also
the
drying.
No, because...
If you're brushing your teeth, then what is it going to absorb from your mouth into
it will,
your toothbrush?
It will. That's what I wasn't sure about. It will absorb from your mouth, and then come out again. Okay. Okay, so you should get one of these Shabbos toothbrushes. Let's just quickly discuss these. Let me just discuss it. We can discuss it afterwards.
But the issue also is washing your toothbrush afterward. Even if you don't use water, beforehand if you're going to wash your tigros afterwards.
Well, that's easier to deal with because that is clearly going to waste. That you don't want the water. Mm. So that's easier to deal with. And so therefore you can rely on those that say that it's allowed.
You're using the water.
That's a lot easier. But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with from squeezing it out.
Yeah.
So that's completely that. I hope I didn't turn you off for the...
He just doesn't want to hear the next thing.
You don't want to hear the next thing. Okay, so the last two cases. Could you wet a paper towel to clean a spill? Are you allowed to wet it? You can go.
Listen.
Could you wet a paper towel to clean a spill?
You mean it gets wet in the process of cleaning the spill?
Let's say you have water fell on the table. So now you're going to get a bunch of paper towels to clean that up. So if you soak it, let's say the paper towel gets soaked. It's a big spill, so it gets soaked. So when you pick it up, just by picking it up, it's going to squeeze it out.
Yeah.
So is that allowed or not allowed?
Well, you're certainly not making use of the...
You're certainly not making use of the water that comes out.
Yeah. And it's rabbinic to begin with.
Well, that's a discussion whether the cloth, whether it's rabbinic or a biblical prohibition, is a dispute that's unresolved.
Could you make an argument that the same way that I forget it was maybe the Sri Deish says that the when you brush your teeth with the water, so the water is in your mouth for such a short time that that's not called ever. Being, even though you want it, it's for such a short time. Could you say the same thing in reverse? To say that the water is going to be absorbed in the paper towel for such a short time that it never really lost its shame of being water, that you're separating it.
I don't think it's ever bad at losing its shame. If it's a biblical prohibition, it's not about losing its shame, it's just about being absorbed. So it was absorbed at a certain point in time. It retained its shame. It retained its identity, but it was just absorbed. So I'm not even sure if it's about it losing its identity. So when it comes to this, so we definitely have, it's easier to deal with this than with the toothbrush, because here you never want the water to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to see who the opinions are. There are many who allow this. There's also a factor here where if it's soaking wet, where the entire thing is just it's entirely soaking, so then they allow it when it's completely soaked. There are those that allow it when it's completely soaked because there's just water all around it. It's completely. It's not just that it absorbed water, but there's also water on the outside of it. So when it's coming out, so I guess it's not viewed as being absorbed within it because it's completely soaked. It's not viewed as being absorbed in the cloth, even though there are parts which are absorbed within the cloth. But since there's also water on the outside, so then it's not called being absorbed. It's just all the water particles are viewed as one, and it's not viewed as absorbed in it. It's just viewed as being soaked. So that would be another...
It's almost like the cloth is absorbed in the water rather than the other way around.
Yes, it'd be something like that.
Even though if I pick it up from there and I take it to the garbage, right?
Yeah.
So now it's not absorbed in the water like that anymore. Now I'm just holding
it. It still is. I think it's still on the outside. I would still assume that on the outside there's still water. I mean, it's not just if I have a paper towel which is soaked in water and I just slowly pick it up, it's going to start dripping.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it dripping? Because there's also water on the outside. It's not just purely water which has been absorbed in the cloth. It's still soaking wet, and I would assume that there's water also on the outside. Even as I carry it to the garbage. That's my guess. There are those who are machmir, but I think there's also definitely those that allow it for that reason. You have a question? The last case is baby wipes. So what are baby wipes? So what would you say about baby wipes?
Can you explain? I get the basic idea. It's
baby
it's
wipes is soaked. It's
pre-soaked.
Cloth.
And it's saturated. Like
they're saturated.
I think we're the only ones that this is relevant to.
Yeah, it's a long time since I've used the baby wipe.
Well, I haven't imagined.
Grandkids, come on.
Yeah, God willing.
Come on.
So,
you're not going to change your grandkids' diapers? Come on.
Is it that they are so so wet that it's that same situation, that it's more...
So there are those... Yeah. So this is also part of the just understanding what's going on with the baby wipes is part of the discussion. Are the baby wipes fully absorbed that there's also water on the outside?
Right.
So if it is, so then there's a lot more room to be lenient. Which is like a whole discussion. If it's not, so then there's room to be stringent. Why? Because when I squeeze it to clean, I'm squeezing it to clean the baby.
Right.
So I want the water.
Yep.
But what is it parallel to?
Right.
It's parallel to the toothbrush.
Yeah.
Because if you hold like that opinion that says that the toothbrush is fine, mm-hmm. because it's only for a short time period, so that water that I'm squeezing that comes out of the baby wipe is also for a short time period.
Except it really was absorbed in the tissue, in the fibers. It's different than a toothbrush.
Yeah, you're right. You don't have that. You don't have that permissibility of the
ravaja. That's why you have the special baby wipes, the Shabbos baby wipes.
What are the Shabbos baby wipes?
In New York, you can get Shabbos baby wipes, which I think are made out of a synthetic material.
Oh, really?
Not absorbed.
Really? So that's why some would hold that this is forbidden, because it's not fully saturated. And it would be the 1 second. What did I say? Did you say prohibited or?
You just said forbidden.
Yeah, I was about to explain which one. Some say that it's forbidden, and since I want it, so it's forbidden. And potentially it's a biblical prohibition, because if you hold that cloth is a biblical prohibition, so then it could be a biblical prohibition. If you hold that cloth as a rabbinic prohibition, so then it would be a rabbinic prohibition. But then others claim that, wait, this could be the same according to that opinion that allows the toothbrush, so then this is also temporary. Even though I want it for right now, but I only want it for the next 30 seconds. I'm going to throw it out. So I really don't want the liquid. So if we would go based on that, so then it should be allowed. And above that, if it's fully saturated, so then it should also be allowed. So this is a situation where you have a three-way dispute as to whether this is allowed, rabbinically prohibited, or biblically prohibited. So this is a major issue, because this impacts
so
all...
So local Orthodox rabbis don't agree?
Do local Orthodox rabbis agree?
Don't agree. I'm asking. In other words, it depends on the community.
Oh, I thought you were asking whether the rabbis in Vancouver agree or disagree about this.
I don't know if you know.
Yeah, this is a big discussion. Like I know by for the YU poskim, like Rav Herschel Schechter is mekel, he allows it, he's lenient, and Rav Mordechai Willig is stringent.
Oh, interesting.
And so he says you have to use what they have these just these water bottle sprays. You should just use tissue paper. But there's a whole big discussion. So, again, ask her.